Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to episode 35 of the Tumbling Saber Podcast, numéro 35 of the Tumbling Saber Podcast. There's a quick little tip of the hat to our listeners in France, and a big shout out to the rest of you out there, wherever you may be. We appreciate having your ears for the next little bit, and I also appreciate having these guys, these two fine gents who set aside their time every Sunday to talk about the Star Wars galaxy. James, how's it going, man?
Doing terrific, Kyle.
Awesome. And Corey, I saw you earlier today. I know you're doing all right. Maybe a little sunburned, but how about an update? Hey.
I'm all set up tonight. I'm ready to go. We've got a new format tonight. The Gremlins will never, ever have their way with us again. I'm all wired up everywhere. There's wires everywhere. We're good to go.
Don't pick a fight with them.
Yeah.
Don't pick a fight with the Gremlins.
And get cocky, kid.
I don't think it's a hard and fast rule, but I would think more wires equals more potential problems. But so far, I think we're okay. I think the Gremlins are at bay, locked in their cages. So, knock on wood, hopefully we're going to be good to go this week.
You guys are tempting fate by saying stuff like that, but let's do it and see how it works out.
Yeah, no, if things go wrong, then I'm completely blaming Corey.
Fair enough, me too.
That just gets Star Wars then. Come on, moving on.
Kick the can down the road. So how's it going, guys? I feel like it's been a long time since we've done this.
Too long. We should do this more often. We got to come up with our the second show.
Yeah, our after hours podcast. Well, you know what? It's been an extra day though this week. That's why it feels long. We did last Saturday, didn't we?
You're correct. Yes. I took off on to go for a little camping trip. So yeah, we did record a bit early last week, but still, it feels like unnaturally long.
It's funny as well too. James and I last week were kind of pouting while you were camping. We were like conversing, just basically saying, "I wish we were podcasting tonight."
Oh yeah, the Sunday it felt unnatural not to be podcasting.
So they say it takes. Was it 21 days to form a habit? And we've been doing this show now for, 35 solid weeks. Once a week for 35 weeks, but I think the habit has taken hold.
Yeah, agreed. I wasn't in it from the onset, but from the early onset, I got involved and I kept asking Kyle and he kept asking me, like, I'm like, yeah, have me on the show again. You know, I have stuff to say. And he was just like, why do you want to be on the show? I'm like, I don't know, because I enjoy it. He's like, okay, come on the show.
And we're glad to have you, Corey.
Yeah.
you're like that kid that comes knocking on the door with his hand out looking for some food.
Pizza. Can I have some more?
Yeah, there you go. Whatever that kid's name was.
Isn't that Oliver Twist?
Sounds like it to me.
And I believe you're right, James.
But it also makes me think of The Simpsons for some reason.
What the Dickens, yeah.
So boys, it was a really spectacular week. This whole week off, I was kind of unplugged a little bit, so I'm not completely up to speed of what was going on. Although I did try to put together a bit of an outline for this show, we may end up going all over the place. But I'm definitely looking forward to doing our episode 8 opening crawls. We got a couple of good submissions. We've got our own to deal with, and a few tidbits of Star Wars news to go through before we get to that. But I'm also afraid we're on the edge of the abyss again now with San Diego Comic-Con in the rear view and, of course, Star Wars Celebration done with. I feel like we're just about on the precipice of a long stretch of no Star Wars news. So these next few items here are going to have to tide us over, I think. And we'll start that with Disney. They've those stiff, button-up, stodgy buzzkills. They've put the kibosh on any future Star Wars parodies from the Family Guy team. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm kind of bummed about that. I'm not surprised, but I am legitimately bummed about that because I thought the Blue Harvest and something Dark Side and It's a Trap, I thought the three of them were fantastic.
Totally agree.
Where do you stand?
Yeah, totally. Absolutely.
I have a lot to say about this, actually. Like, I was in the same pages you. Basically, I was really disappointed at first, and it's a little surprising too, but not surprising knowing that it's Disney. I mean, they're running a really tight ship, like Seth MacFarlane had said, and he had a really good relation with LFL. But I mean, it's kind of sad in the sense as well that like Star Wars spoofs were like a part of our childhood because they were kind of ubiquitous in a way. They were everywhere, like with Muppets, Muppet Babies, which are like some of my greatest memories ever. Granted, there was a relationship there with Jim Henson, but also Robot Chicken spoofs are, they're just great, man. But I can also see where Disney doesn't want to, you know, cross the line. They don't want to give too much away. Like they want to wait maybe till they've told their story so that people can kind of know and more have a like a bit of substance to know what they're working with, as opposed to jumping right into it. Like Family Guy had 20 plus years to kind of go over the films and, you know, poke fun at them a bit. Like Kylo's temper tantrums are a bit of too much bountiful fodder at the moment.
I'll
So
piggyback that idea. No, I agree. I was going to say sort of the same thing that they're making movies now and they haven't been doing that, so it was easier to be sort of poked fun at when there's nothing new coming out. You weren't working on stuff. It wasn't a work in progress. It was stuff that was already canned, and you know, if people are going to make fun of it, so be it. It exists. It's out there, and you know, satire is part of it. So I think in the future you'll probably get more of it. But yeah, I agree with Corey. I see why Disney's sort of got their lawyers showing their teeth. But I'll also say this: you know, Seth MacFarlane's a respectful guy and all, but tell Family Guy they can't do something, and should be interesting.
that's true.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know if they have any ill will. I guess they're kind of bummed about it too, because that was like a little bit of a license to print money for them, and I'm sure they had a blast doing it. From Disney's perspective, I can see why they're shutting it down. Not only because of what you guys said that they're currently making movies and they're busy with that, but it seems like the humor, the tone of the Family Guy crew, is totally out of sync of for what Disney is, and they would have to share control of the content. It just seems like it's something that Disney would not want to partake in. So they just
Can I
they
approach that
it's
from a different like light? If I'm sort of a marketing person, if I'm Disney and I've got Family Guy marketing my product in a way that I'm never gonna market my own product, so it's out there, like that's more exposure, using a sort of a genre or whatever you want to call it, like a style that Disney themselves is never gonna use. It's almost like a missed opportunity, no?
I think you're right. I don't know if I'm agreeing with you because I wish they would continue doing it, or if that makes like objective sense, but I think it makes objective sense. It's logical to me that yeah, if you can it's a different it's an entirely different set of humor that you'd be pitching at, and a different demographic in some respects. So why not just expand your reach that much further and continue to haul in those people that might like a more blue sense of humor.
Yeah, and in a total like you know, marketing perspective, you get to sort of license, you know, reap the rewards of licensing, and but deflect all blame. Oh, you didn't like that joke? Well, that's not Disney. That we didn't do that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, for now, and for valid reasons for the moment. Like, who's to say if Family Guy still exists in 10, 15 years that they won't allow them to do it then?
Now that's true. That is certainly true. Although I don't know if that would work so well, only because the original Star Wars trilogy is so timeless that, you know, you can do that parody of those three movies at any point and make it hilarious. Whereas, you know, The Force Awakens, you know, 10, 15 years from now, might be a footnote,
True.
relatively speaking.
Yeah. Just
And
talk getting
parodies
back
too.
to
I mean, from a legal, sorry to interrupt, but from a legal standpoint, I mean, you talk to your lawyers and you see which words you can't use. But maybe I'm mistaken, but I don't think Mel Brooks goes and, you know, gets permission from everybody before he makes fun of, you know, movies, Spaceballs being my prime example. Like if people want to make parodies about Star Wars, there's only so much Star Wars can do in a legal way to stop that from happening.
Yeah, no, parodies are, I think, are fall under a certain section where you're allowed to do parodies and people can't really come at you. So like you said before, James, if Disney telling the Family Guy guys no, and we'll see how that turns out. You're right. Maybe they say, oh yeah, okay. And so they don't use Han Solo and Rey. They call them something different, but
San
clearly
Holo, yeah,
identifiable.
exactly.
And they make it so much worse.
Well, that's the
You know what I
thing, you know.
mean?
You
They
can maybe, incur some wrath when you're when you try to be too imposing with silly rules.
Yeah, and for sure Disney would probably try and have that shut down, but parodies are hard to shut down, is my understanding. That there's certain creative license that you're allowed to do, as long as you're not full on ripping off the material
That's
or the
it. That's
trademarks.
it.
I think everybody's kind of bummed. I can't think of anybody who's high-fiving that there's not going to be any more of these.
No, but we always have the internet too. So there's definitely going to be some fan stuff out there that's hilarious. But no, it's true. Seth MacFarlane, it's a big production, and it had lots and lots of potential.
Well, and I'm sure what a lot of execs miss is the fact that if you really watch the parodies that they did, it shows what a true fan Seth MacFarlane was. Like you can't make fun of something in that way without really knowing the ins and outs, you know?
Absolutely, and that probably applies to the entire crew. Seth Green was a huge fan, and he had relationships, I'm sure, with if not with George Lucas himself, then with people involved at Lucasfilm. It probably runs up and down the food chain there that they know each other, and they had sort of a handshake agreement that this is, we're going to do this, we're going to have fun with it. But anyway, like Corey said, the things can change in the future. Maybe Disney loosens up a little bit and says, okay, fine, you can do something with this particular property. We can only hope.
We got to touch back on Muppet Babies for a sec.
Oh, do we really?
I got to ask James. James, you remember those episodes? Were you too
I
old at that
definitely
point?
watched Muppet. No, I definitely watched Muppet Babies. It wasn't on my hit list, but it was on my peripheral because I was the oldest of three, so I had younger siblings, so I was definitely aware of it and for sure watched more than one episode from beginning to end.
Well, you were making fun of your younger siblings while they watched.
Not even. I think I remember sort of enjoying that show.
It was kind of like, it was 86, man.
Yeah,
Even
so I was 10.
earlier.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. They had all these Star Wars crossover stories where they were imagining, they were awesome.
Oh, it's true. You know, now that you say that, you just sort of flash me back. I remember some of those side stories. And I love the Muppets to begin with. So it was, the Muppet Babies was easier to transition into.
It's funny you say that because I love the Muppets too, and there's been a couple of feature-length movies over the last 5 years or so that were sort of semi well received, but I don't think it really picked up with kids. And then they were back on TV. And did you know about that?
Yes, I watched the first four or five of them. I was very excited about it.
Yeah, I was stoked about it, and it I wanted to love it, and I didn't.
Well, the
I
style
thought
they
it was
took was,
okay at
yeah,
best.
they tried to do a modern, a modern day sort of style show with a broken down fourth wall, and I think it was sort of like The
Yeah.
Office style. I don't know. It didn't really work like the variety style show that they had in the 70s, 80s.
Did you guys see Dave Grohl's drum off with Animal?
That was amazing.
It feels like Dave Grohl was just born to do something with the Muppets.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Anyway, I feel bad because the Muppets should be on TV somewhere. I'm sure some people disagree that they think they're stupid and obnoxious and dated past their expiry date. But I still think there's place for them somewhere that they should continue with, almost with the same 70s, 80s style variety show that they used to do. I think there's place for that somewhere.
Agreed. I love it.
love it too, but it's such a hard sell with everything that's out there these days.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much vying for our attention, right? Part of the problem that I had with the latest iteration is that I kind of need to get back to Daredevil, or man, my PVR is full of Walking Dead or Fear the Walking Dead or Marvel's Agents of Shield or something is there. I got to get through this, and if it's not pulling me in, I have something else waiting for me that will. So, you're right, Corey. There's just we have too many great choices these days.
But the Muppets are a classic and they cannot be forgotten.
No, and anyway, we'll just wrap it up there with for the Muppets. But I feel like they are sort of on their way out again when they had a good chance to come back.
Yeah, the show was canceled on ABC. I don't know if you heard that.
Yeah, no, it fell flat on its face. Anywho, that's enough about that. Earlier this past week, some kind of not really all that surprising news came along that the New York Daily News, bit of a tabloid, but news is news, I guess, that Alden Ehrenreich, our new Han Solo, has signed a three-picture deal with Disney, which everybody's kind of reading from that this means a Han Solo trilogy. And then you saw a bunch of think pieces pop up on the web that aside from the clickbait that no, you can't do this. It's too much. You can't do a Han Solo trilogy. This is franchise fatigue. You don't need to go there with that character. And I mean, I have a very simple personal rule when it comes to the whole philosophy of franchise fatigue, and I might write a 10-word blog post about it. And to me, franchise fatigue is when you are personally fed up of it, not when some collective says it's too much. Like if you feel like it's too much for you. Tune out. You don't have nobody on the face of the earth is going to make you watch. But I want to get your guys' take. Is a Han Solo trilogy franchise fatigue? Is that too much, or is that what the doctor ordered here?
You take it first, Corey.
Anyway, all right. Well, the article we had read was a Star Wars Han Solo trilogy would be the very definition of franchise fatigue. And right off the bat, I kind of agreed in a way. I had very mixed emotions. I'm going to throw this out there right now. I just thought of it before I forget, but signing a three-picture deal with Disney doesn't necessarily mean it's with Star Wars. It could be indie, maybe. But whatever. It's all rumors anyhow.
Right, there's yeah, it's it, you know, Disney hasn't confirmed it, so we don't know. But and you're 100% right. It could be one Han Solo movie. It could be a cameo in another Star Wars standalone movie, and it could be a role in an Indiana Jones movie, and that's it. There's your three-picture deal.
Yeah, that would be. But no, man, like, we have so much universe to explore. Like, don't. Why would you get right into this? Like, that would basically mean, like, think of it, if you really think about it would mean that we'd have a Han Solo trilogy in, or a movie in 2018 and 2020 as well. Do you really want that right now? Is that what you want as a fan? Like, it would automatically kind of have to mean that, no? Like, this guy's gonna be aging as well. And they have so much story to tell. Like, cram it into one story and make it awesome. Like, we got Chewie the Falcon, Sabacc, like grifting and smuggling, Lando, Jabba, maybe Boba. Don't pull a Hobbit and like milk it. Like take this small story kind of and like turn it into three tri like a trilogy, It's a
Damn,
big
Corey,
universe,
you keep
like.
stealing all my stuff. I was gonna say exactly that. My initial instinct was when I heard that a trilogy was, I sort of felt like I felt when I heard they were gonna make The Hobbit into a trilogy. I thought, oh, yeesh, how much Han Solo is there? But I'm gonna take the other side of the coin anyways, and say that if you look at it this way, the original trilogy was Luke's story. Three movies about Luke. The prequels were Anakin's story, three movies about Anakin. I think we're getting Rey's story, three movies about Rey. And all these three movies about sort of one person's story have been awesome. So why wouldn't three movies about Han be awesome?
I'm not saying.
That is a completely valid take because I mean we look at what we know about Han Solo, that he freed Chewie from the from slavery, and he won the Falcon from Lando, and he did this and he did that, the Kessel Run, you name it. But that's not all he did. If that's not, if Disney or Lucasfilm wants him to do more, there's a whole a galaxy of possibilities for this character. And I've always said that now that Disney has taken over, that we're probably going to get more Han Solo going forward from, 2015, when The Force Awakens came, going forward into the future. We'll get more Han Solo now than we have in the rearview mirror.
I'd see
So
that coming
it.
in more in the form of literature and stuff, though. Like, yes, we got the movie coming, granted, but it's a
Oh,
big
it's. I think
universe.
it's coming in all forms. Right now, we're getting the 5-part comic miniseries, and we're getting at least one standalone. And I see no reason why, if I guess you could always say this: if it does really, really well, they'll do more. And I think that's sort of the open and shut case for that. If they do one movie and it does exceedingly well, they're going to green light more. I think it's as simple as that.
It's just
I
kind
agree
of
with
odd to me.
that, yeah.
Like, I agree with you too, but we all said the same thing kind of about Rogue One in a way too. Like saying, if it does really well, then maybe they'll make a Rogue Two, whatever it is. But they have so many different genres they can explore, and so many different characters and time periods. And I guess whatever, they got all the time in the world to do it. But I don't
To go
know,
back to something
just.
you said, Kyle, about what Han Solo's done so far, and if they want him to do more, they can. Maybe they've already written. Maybe he's already done more, and specifically, there's a big gap between what Han Solo did at the end of Episode 6 and what we just saw in Episode 7. So maybe one of the, some of the storyline they want to explore is those missing years, and that could be really interesting. We don't know what they're going to tell us happened. How he fathered, both Rey and Ren, with different women or whatever. We
I
don't.
love how you just slip that in every week, and if you say it enough, eventually we're going to believe it,
Well, you can believe it or not. A fact is a fact, whether or not you
right?
believe it. But you know what I mean? Like maybe they're going to tell us some Han stuff in the next couple of movies that we're really going to find out more about.
Right, because in the comics, they introduced a wife. Now, maybe she's a bit of a head case, and he claims that it was never really his wife, but there's a story there, and I would bet for sure that this woman, her name is Sana, is going to show up in a Han Solo movie. I think she has to at this point.
There you go. That's another one
Somebody
to add to it.
someone who claims to be your wife, whether it's a legit marriage or not, that's obviously something major, and that's probably going to be at least explored somewhat in a standalone movie, in my opinion.
What do you think about what I had said earlier in the sense that, if they do make a trilogy, would it necessarily have to be in 2018 and 2020? Or can they stretch it to like 2018, then 2022 or something, Or 2020, then 2022, whatever it is.
I think they've got a pretty broad view of their future, and I think it could absolutely be, if they sign them to three movies, it could be 2018, 2022, and 2025. Really, I think it could be that far in the future.
You know what? That being the case, James, we might not get our Obi-Wan movie anyone time soon.
Depends how many. That's a, who knows how they're gonna release, like in what order they're gonna put out these movies. Like, are they gonna give us, if they do a Han Solo trilogy, will they give us all three in a row without giving us any other spin-off movies, or will they give us, Han 1 and then Obi-Wan story and then Han 2? Like, who knows?
Well,
How
yeah,
cool
because I
would that be if they filmed the movie in the year like 2018 and then premiered it in like 2025 or something, They just shot the footage so the characters don't age and just put it in a
Well, I,
vault.
you know, I don't think that's crazy. Not with this group anymore, because they, like James said, they've got such a long view of this whole thing now. that they can absolutely do this. There's such a long game in effect.
And people are doing stuff like that. It's the trendy thing to do in Hollywood. There was that movie Boyhood that was filmed over 10 years. Yeah. And Malkovich did some crazy project recently. Did you hear this? I think the movie's called 100 or something. Anyways, they filmed a movie and vaulted it. Yeah, and they're not going to release it for 100 years.
Yeah, I heard about that. I think it was like for crazy. Alcohol, too.
I didn't read much about the details of it. Yeah, sorry.
So it makes total sense to me that they, if they are so sure of the stories they want to tell now, they could absolutely film something in 2016 that they know is only going to appear in 2025 or so. That wouldn't shock me.
No, and they can film it, and you know, if the story changes for whatever reason, they scrap it. But if you film enough stuff, some of it will be usable, right?
Of course, yeah. I don't think anything is out of the realm of possibility now. And like, going back to something that, on Corey's point, to his point, I've always said that at some point, I'm pretty sure that even though we know we're going to get episodes 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, we don't know when. So I think they could always, I've always said that they'll probably give the episodic saga a break.
Yeah.
And what do you do? But they're not going to give the movies a break. They could fill that space with standalone movies for 4 or 5 years if they have to.
And we don't know what Disney's big picture is either, what their vision of the future is. For them, maybe a perfect world is, you know, July blockbuster, Christmas release. July blockbuster, Christmas release. You know, maybe that's the machine they're building towards.
Yeah, because right now we're at one Star Wars movie a year.
That's right.
But Marvel's at 2 to 3 a year.
So Disney must be looking at that model saying, well, that, you know, more movies is more money, right?
Yeah, can we shove another one in there without cannibalizing their other stuff? Because they own so much now that they wouldn't want a Star Wars movie to have to go up against an Avengers movie.
No, they'd
be cannibalizing their...
For sure. And they've got number crunchers sort of looking at, you know, what the forecast would be, putting this against that, and you know, someone's crunching a lot of numbers and on a calculator, sort of figuring out, you know, schedules for release on all this stuff. It's certainly well calculated because it's important. But
there's one set of nerds crunching numbers to tell another set of nerds when they can make a movie. So for a third set of nerds who want to sit there and watch the movie.
Vice versa, you know, it could be them saying, here's the movies we're making, like, make it work. Just like a hockey schedule, you know? Here's the games, figure it out. Oh, Shania Twain's playing tonight? I don't care. Figure it out.
Yeah, well...
A Shania Twain reference.
That's a good reference. Wow. Shania Twain, well done.
Yeah.
But you know, you say cannibalize, but at the same time, you know, you're competing with yourself. There's worse things out there. If you've got all the big movies in the theater and people have to choose between, you know, Marvel and Disney, or Marvel and Star Wars. That's a choice Disney likes.
True. That is absolutely true. Now, what about the perspective on this? That's the Force Awakens especially, and obviously what looks like will happen again in Rogue One. They've made a push to diversify the cast, right? So the two main leads in The Force Awakens are John Boyega, a black guy, and Daisy Ridley, the female lead. And we're going to have Jyn Erso as the female lead in Rogue One. Now, is it going backwards a little bit if you do a Han Solo trilogy with another white male? Or is that where you just say, okay, now you just build around him with some major diverse characters? Where do you think that – is there some legit criticism there?
Somewhat, yeah. I mean, Lando is one of his best friends until Han somehow gets the Falcon away from him.
I'm going to say no. I don't think so because, and maybe I'm alone on this, Han's a pre-existing popular character. I would say maybe it would be going backwards if they were trying to promote, you know, their next star was, you know, white bread, you know, traditional Hollywood actor. Maybe that's, I don't even think personally that's going backwards. Maybe that's a sidestep. You know, not every new character you promote has to be diversified. I don't think, but I think this falls in that category even less because Han's already you know super well loved, super popular character. So exploiting a character we already know is popular, I don't think is taking a step backwards personally.
I agree. It's almost redundant in a way if you think about it because like his best friends basically I see him crying in a corner every time Leia calls him a walking carpet. Like that's. You know, like that right there basically shows that there is no race really for him. You know, he's just a cool dude, just out there, like willing to accept anyone, kind of.
Yeah, you're right. I think of the criticism that Marvel took, and I guess by extension Disney, when they announced that Spider-Man was the Spider-Man Homecoming, which I think is coming out next year, if I'm not mistaken. Meanwhile, you have people who are waiting for example, a Captain Marvel movie, or what's taken so long with a Black Widow standalone movie.
Apparently, they cast a Captain Marvel this week, eh?
Captain Marvel was announced, yeah.
Right. No, now it's been announced, but they've been waiting on this on Captain Marvel forever. They've been waiting on Black Panther forever.
Oh, come on, we haven't even gotten our standalone Wonder Woman movie until now. I mean, that's a character I can't believe didn't get her own movie until 2016. That's ridiculous. 2017.
Well, exactly. That's exactly the mentality I'm speaking of. There's a lot of people out there who were very vocal about, why are you fast-tracking Spider-Man?
Again.
That we've had. Again. We've got the three Tobey Maguires, the two Andrew Garfields. Why are you fast-tracking that character again when we're still waiting on Captain Marvel, Black Panther, a Black Widow movie? Like, and of course, it defaults to the same straight white male. You're pandering to those guys again.
He's a bigger character within the universe, and he's going to play a bigger role within future movies. Like, he had quite a big role in Civil War.
Right, but there's two sides to that coin. I think is
oh yeah, for sure. Spider-Man's one of the most iconic of all time. Yeah, no, for sure. There's you could defend the point of making Spider-Man movies make sense. You can't make enough of them. People just love Spider-Man. He's he's top three. Disagree? Best most popular superheroes of all time. He's top
definitely
three.
Oh, absolutely disagree. Agree.
So you can't make that movie enough times, really, but. I get the criticisms in that there are a lot of other good stories out there that haven't been told at all yet. And geez, we've had a lot of Spider-Man.
Exactly. So, and that's where I'm coming from with this Han Solo thing is that we've known this character for going on 40 years. So for the people who want a galaxy like Star Wars to diversify more than it has, I don't think I can begrudge those people their complaints. I think they're somewhat legitimate. On the other side, there's still just as many people who love Han Solo and want more of that. And the business reality of it is going to trump everything, I think, in that he's totally bankable. And so buckle up. You're going to get a steady diet of Han Solo.
Possible. It's very possible.
Yep. So anyway, I think we've beaten that topic to death.
Well, I'm gonna beat it. Just sort of... I've got one more swing to take. As you were saying that, the cynic in me sort of took hold, and I imagined being a fly on the wall in the executive's office when they were talking about the how to market Han Solo before they killed him off. They were like, no, current day Han Solo too old. Let's axe that guy, and then let's sign some hot young new guy and make more Han Solo movies. Like, that conversation happened for sure.
And high fives were had.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. For sure. the sound of cash registers started just echoing over the PA speakers in the conference room. For sure.
Everybody gave themselves a bonus and they went to lunch.
A 3-hour power lunch. sticking somewhat with... Mr. Aaron Reich, and I guess we'll pull Hayden Christensen in with that. It was confirmed that neither of those actors will appear in Rogue One. And one of those pieces of news makes me very happy, and the other kind of bums me out a little bit. And James, what do you think? Do you think that they should be in the movie? Are you bummed to learn that they won't be?
I'm not bummed. I'm not gonna make cheering noises, because I actually sort of feel bad for Hayden Christensen a little bit. I think he's probably a better actor than his legacy will let on, because I don't know. I think he had some pretty crummy directing and some pretty crappy writing, and I don't think he's probably as bad an actor as he came across in the movies. However, I personally don't need to see any more Hayden Christensen in Star Wars movies, so I'm okay with it.
And I guess that it would you'd feel the same way about Aaron Reich not being in Rogue One?
Well, I don't know. That I'm more indifferent about that. I wouldn't be mad if it happened, but I'm not disappointed it's not going to happen. I'm sort of indifferent, no opinion really, because I don't know at all what the story's going to be, like how it would be relevant. So if it works, that'd be great, but if it's not going to happen, so be it.
Fair. Corey, what do you think? No Aaron Reich in Rogue One. Is that are you happy about that, or are you kind of bummed out?
No, I don't really care, to be honest. Like, it would have been cool, like I said, maybe to see like him or the Falcon in a background scene. The only character I really see crossing into this movie would possibly be R2, but yeah, I don't really care. Like, I don't think it's a big deal.
Yeah, I agree. I guess the trifecta is complete. I don't care. I'm actually kind of glad, actually, that that Aaron Reich is not going to be seen as Han Solo in Rogue One. I thought that even if it was just a cameo, or even if something as innocuous as an Easter egg, I just would have been like, ah, come on, like that's just pure fan service. Like, you didn't have to do that.
And
Yeah,
you
like
know
I was
what? Have
thinking
to
about it,
shoe. Yeah,
like
you can't do it
seeing
for
like
his
a.
first appearance as Han Solo either. That would be his first shot as this little cameo in this or whatever in this movie. His first shot as Han Solo should be in his own movie.
I would agree, unless it was really, really memorable. Like it was really funny, or something really signature Han Solo. But yeah, no, I tend to agree. If Han Solo's first appearance should be in a Han Solo movie, not in some other movie where he just sort of walks past and either may or may not do something funny. But I am a little bit bummed. A little bit bummed that Hayden Christensen won't be seen in Rogue One. I was hoping that we'd see sort of a battered, broken Vader somehow, and you just, even if he had no lines, just to see Christensen's face, just to sort of bridge that gap, and just to keep some consistency. Not that they have a problem with consistency, but just to keep that lineage going. You know what I mean? Just to see his face again. I would have been happy at seeing that. But we're not getting it, so we're all just gonna have to find a way to get on with our lives, as hard as that may sound.
I was on the same boat as you guys. Like, I felt bad for Christian Haydenson, but
Did you just call him Christian Haydenson?
I did. Or Haydenson. Sorry.
Oh, first it was Sam Guerrero, now it's Christian
It
Haydenson.
is getting late.
Anyway.
Wasn't Christian Haydenson in Pump Up
I
the
just
Volume?
I wrote one of his names down in my show notes. But like my point was
Oh,
basically like
that's.
they can't really reveal Vader's face, I don't think, before Jedi. Like, you see his head, kind of the back of his head or whatever in Empire, but when he
Well,
finally sees
we saw his face in Rebels.
someone,
Not that
yeah.
it's the same thing, but you
think
did
that
see behind the mask.
I think that might be as big as a shout out as he might get.
You might be right. I don't know if they ever plan on doing a Darth Vader standalone movie, but again, it wouldn't shock me. And I think if they ever do, that's where you see Hayden Christensen.
I think it would
But
shock
so at
me
this
if they
point,
didn't do a Vader standalone movie at some point.
yeah,
He's that
when you
marketable.
think about, yeah, when you think about how, yeah, you're right, James. When you think about how everything marketing wise is always revolved around Vader. Yeah, it just almost makes too much sense that there's they would have to have a Darth Vader movie in there at some point.
Wouldn't that be franchise fatigue though, too, in a way?
Yeah, depending on your definition, like Kyle said, for some people it would be, but I personally, I always with the asterisks, if done right, but if done right, I could, I don't know if I could have too much Vader. Good Vader stories, I'll eat them up.
Well, I guess I'll go slightly dark on this for a second, and maybe it depends on James Earl Jones in the end, because I'm sure there'll be no shortage of people that say you cannot do Vader if you don't have James Earl Jones doing the voice.
10 years ago, I'd agree, but I'd say like right now, Disney's already probably got him speaking, or they've already had him speaking to a machine that recorded it, so they can recreate it forever. Like I bet you his voice is now Disney property, or if it's not, they're working on it.
I'm sure also that there's so many impersonators out there as well.
Yeah, with modern technology, I
Yeah, I
just
mean,
think
I.
not a problem.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah, anyway, I think I would be surprised if we never saw a Vader movie. But we'll move along from this, and we'll jump into our next topic, boys. Actually, a quick little thing here. I wrote a blog post on this last week or the week before. I don't even know anymore. And I wanted to get to the bottom of the fascination of why people wanted to see Darth Maul versus Vader in Rebels. And aside from it being cool, like it'd be cool to see those two go at it. But from a story perspective, in my opinion, there's nothing there. But yet, people were really asking for it, and it was head scratching for me. And I think when we had Rob on a couple weeks ago, he had a good point in that once you talk about it publicly, like Dave Filoni did at Celebration, that Darth Maul was originally supposed to die at the hands of Vader in Rebels at the season two finale. You open the door for people to ask for that kind of thing, and I don't know if that's the root of this, but it seems like people are asking for Vader versus Maul, and I'm like, why? Like Maul versus Obi-Wan, that's the fight. That is the one that has the meat on the bone, where there's unfinished business between the two. So I think that's the story that needs to be explored. So anyway, I ran a little Twitter poll just to see what would happen, and I guess the majority agree with me, 55%. Agree that Obi-Wan makes the better adversary for Darth Maul, or Maul now, I guess, in Rebels, whereas Vader got 45% of the vote. So very quickly before we take our break here, what do you guys think?
Oh,
I
definitely,
think,
definitely
yeah, you
Obi-Wan.
definitely Obi-Wan too, but so that's why you won't get that fight until the Obi-Wan standalone.
Yeah, interesting.
And they'll do then they can do the other one in Rebels.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's a way to satisfy both, right?
I see Obi-Wan coming back in Rebels to make a cameo. Like Vader and Maul, like I think you somewhat said something along these lines. Like it's almost like people want to see like two brothers vying for dad's attention, you know? Like I was the first Darth. He liked me first, you know? Like see like to compare to have like a to be able to quantify their power, maybe.
That actually, Corey, from a Star Wars perspective, makes a lot of sense because from a storytelling perspective, brothers fighting or siblings fighting just carries a lot more weight. So yeah, I think that's a strong point.
Papa Palpatine was my papa first.
There's that, but considering it's Maul, it comes from a place of hate and domination, and he just wants to wipe out his enemies, and the Sith are his enemy.
We also know that Obi-Wan's going to get his eventual confrontation with Vader. Like we know that in the back of our minds already too, you know. So
Yeah, how does that tie into this?
well, basically, because like that was just kind of like what the question was, no? Like Vader versus Maul, but like anyway, fuck, now you got me all confused.
No,
I was
it
thinking
was
about
the
that earlier, like basically.
Maul's. We're trying to think of the best villain for the best adversary for Maul in Rebels. And anyways, most people seem to agree that Obi-Wan is the better fit at this point.
That makes so much more
But
sense.
I agree. It's obviously far from unanimous. But like James said, maybe one is reserved for the live action, and one you can do the other in Rebels, and that's a way to make everybody happy.
I think Ray Park would come back as Maul at this point.
Why not? Have you seen him lately?
Yeah, he looks amazing.
He still looks like exactly in the same fighting shape as he was in when he was Darth Maul in Phantom Menace, like almost 20 years ago they filmed that. So
Yeah, he must
I
work
have no
out.
doubt. Yeah, he's a fitness freak, so I have absolutely no doubt that he'd come back as Darth Maul if he was asked.
You know, back in the day when the prequels came out, I honestly thought that Grievous was Maul at first. In Attack of the Clones, or yeah, it's Attack of the Clones, we see him the first time. I was like, oh my God, this must be like the remnants of him, you know? But it
You see, no,
wasn't.
you don't. You don't see Grievous until Revenge of the Sith. You see him in the Clone Wars cartoon, which is set in between, but you don't see him in the movie.
There was also that Samurai Jack animated one there that led up to it. Remember that
Yeah,
one? Those three-minute mini episodes. That was pretty intense.
They I actually had not watched them that long ago.
Jedi
They're
Shaggy.
pretty awesome. Jedi Shaggy. Yeah, he got smoked.
Big time.
Anyway, so there you go. Obi-Wan is the better adversary for Maul, but Vader would be a cool fight too. Who says he can't have it all? Okay, let's take a break here. Let's hear from our friends over the pond at Talk Star Wars, and we'll come back and we'll talk about our homemade Episode 8 opening crawl brews. I'm excited about this, so stick around, and we're going to be back in just a second.
Hey guys,
Yeah.
we need to record a promo for the podcast. You got any suggestions?
Well, we need to keep it as simple as possible.
That sounds good.
Something like, if you like Star Wars and you listen to podcasts, you should check out the Talk Star Wars podcast on iTunes.
Or we could really motivate people to listen.
What do you have in mind?
Well, you could tell people they should listen to Talk Star Wars or they will feel the power of a fully armed and operational battle
Well,
station.
no, you can't do that.
Why?
We can't threaten people.
Oh.
Steve's right. Simple is probably best. Like this. I'm Mark.
I'm Stephen.
And I'm Rob.
If you love Star Wars,
and you listen to podcasts,
then you should check out our show, Talk Star Wars.
You can subscribe to Talk Star Wars on iTunes.
And find us on Stitcher Radio.
And find full episodes of the podcast on our YouTube channel.
You can find the podcast and everything else we do at talkstarwars.co.uk.
And you can play with us on Twitter by following at Talk Star Wars.
You should also head to facebook.com/talkstarwars and like our Facebook page.
Or we will strike you down with all of our hatred and your journey towards the dark side will be complete.
That's not cool.
I've said it now.
Head to talkstarwars.co.uk and join us as we talk Star Wars.
Or else.
And we're back, everybody. It's time for our Episode 8 homemade opening crawls for the upcoming Star Wars sequel. I have no idea how many days away it is. I should know. I should be up on these things. But
Rob's going to be very
what do
disappointed
you
in
want?
you.
No, give me a second here. It's currently 501 days away. So hey, when you're listening to this, it'll have cracked the 500 barrier. That's a significant milestone.
Indeed.
Look at that. All right, so guys, did you have any specific methodology to writing this, or was it just let's just stream of consciousness this thing?
Okay, I'll definitely talk a lot about my methodology because I'm not going to talk a lot about my opening crawl because it sucks. But I did have a strategy. So first, I'm sure like you guys, I went through and I looked at all the opening crawls from the first 7 movies, which for some reason on YouTube, 90% of them are unavailable to me in Canada. Did you guys have that issue?
I did not look on YouTube, so I don't know, but I would assume that being in Canada, just like you, that I would have that issue.
Yeah, really annoying. Anyway, so then I found finally on Vimeo or some other host the crawls, and I watched through them, and then I sat there with my pen and, you know, started rewriting them, specifically looking at Empire, because I think of all the movies to sort of look at, that's the one to look at. But every time I started to write, because there's no time gap, I just found myself writing plot summaries and not opening crawls. So I had a really hard time finding my angle for stuff they're going to tell us that we didn't see in the movie, which is what I'm sure they're going to do. I'm convinced that the opening crawl will be, you know, while the stuff you saw was going on, this was happening behind the scenes. But I had a really hard time organizing what that's going to be. Corey, what was your approach, Corey? How'd you get started?
Well, I think you're making a very valid point in the sense that I think all of us are going to be along those lines, because the first time that a movie's ever started back to back like this, so it is more or less a recap with some add-ons in a way, I guess. Speculation is all you can really do. But I looked at Empire was my main focus as well, but I read all the opening crawls for the original trilogy. And yeah, I kind of just went from there and banged something out quick. And then, well, I jotted down some notes first and kind of started to rearrange it as to what should go first. And then kind of tried to put it all together after and something cohesive. I'm a little skeptical. Everyone's weary and judgmental on themselves, though, when they write. So
yeah, everybody hates their own stuff.
Oh, not me. I usually love my own stuff. No, I seriously, though, I enjoy writing things, and usually, like, once I sit down and pen something out, I look down, and at some point, I'm happy with at least some of it, but this was, like, not that experience. I really, meh. I think, given another week, I could come up with something that I hated slightly less.
And we got to touch on this for 1 second. I can attest to that, because James just wrote this amazing, amazing rap for his golf tournament, the Golden Beagle, and this guy is a verbal Picasso. He's all over it. Like, you have no idea. The whole song just keeps slamming you the whole way through. It's ridiculous.
Thanks for the props, Corey.
Dude, it's good. I showed up to a friend of mine who has no idea who James is, and he was blown away. Just blown away.
Thanks, man.
Is that video up on YouTube?
If you want to see it, I can send you the link, but I've got it set up now, so people can't find it. I'm premiering it in a couple of weeks, so it's on the down low.
Nice. Yeah. We'll plug that when it comes out.
Definitely. Yeah. It was fun to make.
All right. So who wants to go first here?
Definitely not me.
Straws or something.
Well, it's okay. Okay. How about fine? I wrote two, so I'll do my first one.
Okay.
What's
the title?
With the title. Because remember, back in episode 23, I think we talked about titles. Mark at Talk Star Wars had asked us to come up with titles for episode 8. So I just tacked, and I'd come up with two. So I just split them up here.
And spice in some background music, too.
Yes, sir.
We'll get someone in the effects department to do that after we record, guys.
Note to self, not putting in spliced music.
Oh, come on.
No, that's a lot of work.
Okay, just for me then.
we'll see. Anyway, here we go. Star Wars Episode 8, The Fury of the First Order. The galaxy is in disarray. With the Republic homeworld of Hosnian Prime destroyed, the evil First Order is poised to impose its will upon thousands of powerless star systems. Seeking revenge for the destruction of Starkiller Base, General Hux has dispatched his army to crush the Resistance once and for all. While General Leia Organa and her allies bid farewell to a dear friend, Rey has found Jedi Master Luke Skywalker and is desperate for his help in the battle against impending doom. Dot, 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 dot.
Dude, that's exactly like mine in other
it's
words.
It's mine too. It's exactly mine. No joke. It's crazy. Like, some of it's verbatim. You have a camera in my house? That's yeah, no, that's very good. And but we took so much of the same angles. Very similar.
So, James, are you saying that you hate my opening crawl?
I love your opening crawl. It's like the most amazing opening crawl ever.
I liked it a lot. How many words was it?
Yours. That's like 81 words.
Hold on a second. I will. It's 83. So yeah. So what I did, I didn't specifically look at Empire, even though it's a valid point that you guys make that it would probably be tonally the same. I just looked at all of them and I realized that all of them have sort of a between 75 and 88 words in the opening crawl. So I wanted to get into that ballpark. And it was easy enough to stick there. And that was it. And like you said, James, it's sort of a synopsis of what happened in 7 and then just leading you into what's immediately going to happen, or what you're about to see in episode 8. So when I wrote 2 crawls, I did one under the impression that the opening scene will be a First Order attack, either at Han's funeral or on the Resistance base. And on the flip side, which I'll read my second crawl later, that one sort of it's a little bit different. We'll get to it then. But all right, who wants to go next?
Well, let me just add to yours for a second for a bit, because they really are so similar. But a paragraph I tried to, and I did a 3-paragraph thing. You told me of the word count from the, you'd mentioned that earlier in the week, so I sort of had the same target as you. But one of the paragraphs that are one of the angles I wanted to take that I couldn't get into writing the way I wanted to was a paragraph that said something along the lines of, while Rey traveled to find Luke and Aktu, this was going on with Snoke and Ren. Like I couldn't find a way to mention that Ren had gone to see Snoke and was completing his training, but I think that they may summarize that in the crawl so that it's happened when the movie opens, if that makes sense.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. We'll get to that. We'll come around to that a couple times before we get to the end of this segment.
Okay.
So, James, go ahead. Hit us with what is essentially a copy of mine.
I don't even want to read it. Honestly, it's not as good as yours, and it says the same thing. So, I said the same thing about Leia organizing the troops. I said the same thing about impending doom. It's really the same thing. I think Corey should go.
I'll go, but you better. If I read mine, you're reading yours, man. So, back in the day, I kind of went with Charge of the Resistance as my title. And I came up with a new one while writing it. And I'm going to say it's episode 8, Charge of the Resistance or The Lost Hope. Okay. Darkness looms as turmoil spreads throughout the galaxy. With the recent destruction of Starkiller Base, the Hosium system, and the crippling of the New Republic, 2 remaining factions vie for control. Princess Leia leads a valiant attempt to rally the stars under the banner of the Resistance as Supreme Leader Snoke and the First Order seize the opportunity to continue their dark pursuit for supremacy and control. A ray of light remains on a forgotten island as a mysterious and powerful young woman has found the galaxy's lost hope, Luke Skywalker. Dot, dot, dot.
I want to say that I think the title, A Lost Hope, is very strong for a Star Wars movie title. Kyle?
Oof. A lost hope, yeah. That
it plays off a new hope. To me, it's fitting for where this movie's at.
I like the lost. That's, I called it the lost hope.
No, the lost works too. A lost hope, the lost hope. But I think that's strong.
I think that says bad things for Luke and or Rey.
It's also possibly about finding something as well along the way that can lead you, like what Luke's found there, you know?
Well, if Rey sure, were going to go dark in this movie, The Lost Hope or A Lost Hope could, you know, that could be an appropriate title.
Yes, I'd rather not think about that, though. Anyway, Corey, I think you did a really great job there, Corey.
I tried
hard. Very flowery.
It came to 91 words.
Yeah, no, yours is excellent too. And like, again, yours I never got... The reason I don't want to read mine is because mine's a jumble of, like, mismanaged paragraphs. I never got mine down to, like, 80 words, three paragraphs of concise sentences. So I have nothing specifically to read. It's just, like, I wanted to say something about the Republic, the Resistance. I wanted to say something about... And like I said, I think the most important paragraph, or the one that's going to be the most vital, will be the one that catches us up on what was happening off-screen while our heroes were gathering on Act Two. I think that's going to be, you know, super important, and I actually think it's where they're going to open the movie, because they traditionally will open in space, and since we know where Rey and Luke are, I guess they could open in space right above the planet and pan in, but I think they're going to open in space. For some reason, I have this feeling it'll be on Ren's ship arriving or leaving Snoke's.
How'd you guys like this little double entendre I threw in there? It's kind of cheesy a bit, but I had to put it in there. A ray of light.
Nice, nice. Star Wars likes that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's...
That, it should have been a ray of hope, but that, I didn't want to use that, hope two times in the same sentence.
That's a classic Corey. Just throwing a little bit of cheese like that. That's all right, though. You gotta be true to yourself.
I liked it.
Especially with these serious exercises.
You know? I took it too seriously. I think that was my problem. Maybe I was too hard on myself, but I could not come up with, like, to me it was like a puzzle and I couldn't solve it.
It was kind of tough, man. It's really not easy. Like, even, you know, I was telling Corey earlier today when he was over, the original opening crawl for A New Hope was like a mile long. And it was one of George's famous buddies. I said at the time it was Francis Ford Coppola, but I could be wrong about that. He made George Lucas edit it down, or he may have edited it himself just to help George out. So you can't ask people to read that much at the beginning of the movie. They won't. So, you know, shorten that up, and what the final result is what we see. So even for the guy who wrote the bloody movie, it's not an easy thing to do.
No, it wasn't. And I didn't leave it until the last minute either. I started this well over a week ago and spent a little bit of time on it in between. Whenever I'd get stuck doing my other thing, my little project I was working on, I'd come over to this. I'm working on another tile project too, which you guys have seen a couple of. So anyways, I got three things on the go, but I had this, you know, I had notes on this crawl going all over the place, and I just couldn't put it together in a way that I liked, that didn't seem like just a cheesy IMDb synopsis entry. And that's what they all sounded like to me. You guys did a much better job than I did.
Really?
I'll pick up the slack here. I've got a second one that I'll just get off. It's very much like the first. It just takes out the aspect of Han the movie opening on Han's funeral. So it's Episode 8, Rise of the First Order. The Republic is in disarray. With the Hosnian system destroyed, the evil First Order is free to impose its will upon the galaxy. Obsessed with revenge, the cruel General Hux has dispatched thousands of his best troops to crush the Resistance once and for all. As General Leia Organa and her loyal soldiers prepare for the imminent attack, Rey has found Jedi Master Luke Skywalker and is desperate for his help in the battle to restore peace. ...
Really enjoy. I like how you were true to that. The opening crawl narrator always was a good guy, and, you know, judged. It wasn't just a declaration of facts of this side and that. It was, you know, the evil First Order. The, you know, there was always judgment as to what was going on. So,
yeah, it's R2. R2-D2 is telling that. Is the narrator of that crawl.
You just enlightened me.
Yeah.
The will of the Force.
So at the end of all things Star Wars, it's R2-D2 who's amassed all this knowledge and is telling it back to whoever, the wills, whoever
it's
they 100
are. 100 years, no?
And it's 100 years after Jedi. And R2 is relaying all this info, the whole history of the galaxy back. So we know who survives if we ever get to the 100 years past Return of the Jedi.
And that's what I love about this series. We know, like, It's the exact same thing for Lord of the Rings. Like, the real main character, if you've ever read the story, is Samwise Gamgee. Is really, like, he's the one telling the story. It's like, it's the war through his eyes in a way, almost.
Yeah, that's, I can't totally argue with that. I'd say, though, it's certainly, Lord of the Rings has, like,
he's the one,
famously,
he's the one,
you know,
that gets the happy ending at the end, you know, kind of.
Yeah, he does. No, he does. Frodo doesn't get a happy ending. No, Sam does. He goes to, he lives in Bag End and has a beautiful daughter named Eleanor. And he's a...
And a son named Frodo.
He's a gardener. And a son named Frodo, you're right. And a bunch of other kids, too.
Now, James, did you just give us a peek behind the curtain?
Dude, it's funny. No one knew that. And then when I had the kid at the hospital, when I had my first child, Eleanor, at the lakeshore, the doctor, I got right in there. I was really like, I wanted to be involved. So I was like, I asked the doctor, I'm like, as much as possible, if there's no emergency, can I like catch the baby? Can I, you know, whatever, all that stuff. I wanted to do it, you know? She's like, yeah, for sure. Scrub in. She was really cool. So she let me like basically go get it and take it out and cut the cord and do all that stuff. And then, so when I'm holding the baby all sort of teary eyed and emotional, she says, so what's the baby's name? I said, Eleanor. And she goes, oh, did you know that's the name of Samwise Gamgee's daughter in Lord of the Rings? Like, completely out of the blue. I was like,
how
I just
cool
started,
is that?
I just started bawling. I'm like, yeah, I knew that. That's why we picked that name.
How cool. I love nurses. They're such a rare breed, I find. They're such loving, giving souls.
That was the doctor, so but yeah. Like, no, for sure. It was amazing.
For the things that are so unique and like once or twice or three times in a lifetime for us are five times a day for them. So it becomes comical and things they laugh
for
about
sure.
In the lunchroom.
For sure.
Whereas for us, it's life and death.
Yeah. No, it was something. But yes. So that's, I gave you a peek behind the curtain for sure. It was an easy name to pick because my wife is also a huge Beatles fan. So, you know, Lucy, Eleanor, there were a few names that sort of checked that box as well that we liked. But yeah, Eleanor was easy. Yeah.
Nice. Ah, there you go.
Dude, I got to tell you this, Kyle. My son's name is Nolan, but if it was a girl, I swear to God, we'd agreed upon Leia. And we didn't know until the day of his birth, so it was like, oh my God, Princess Leia.
That's a good one.
I wonder how many Leias are out there.
I bet you there's a boom like in the mid to late 80s. You could track that. There's name trackers. No, you could track
unreasonable.
That. I'll look that up for next show. I'm making myself a note.
What about Ray? What about Ray for girls?
I bet you there's a boom in that right now.
I would say for sure. Kids being born right about now are probably getting
slapped. There's a few Rays. Ray. Middle names and yeah, for sure. Different spellings of that name. Yeah, I would agree. My buddy Jay's got two kids, Luke and Ben, and isn't really a Star Wars fan and didn't do it on purpose. And he named his second kid Ben before Force Awakens came out. But coincidentally, he just happens to have like two super solid Star Wars names. He always gets the question, nice. Of course, you know, this is Luke, this is Ben. Oh, Star Wars fan? Like, I think it's making him like Star Wars less.
So guys, we got a couple of submissions here from listeners about with their opening crawls. So here goes. This is from Steven. We hadn't heard from Steven in a long time. So welcome back, Steven. Great to have you back, man. And this is what's impressive about Steven's. He DM'd me on Twitter and said, do I still have time to get in my opening crawl? And I think this was yesterday. I was like, hell yeah. Like if you sent it in while we were recording, I'd put in. And he's like, cool, here, bam. He sent it over. And I was like, what? So I hope, for my sake, I'm being selfish here, that Steven, I hope you agonized over this a little bit because this is too natural. That seemed too easy. So here goes. Here's Steven's opening crawl. No title. We left that part out. But here we go. Weeks have passed since Starkiller Base has been destroyed, but the First Order remains. Kylo Ren has since returned to his master, Supreme Leader Snoke, in order to complete his training. General Hux has sent a vengeful Captain Phasma, on a mission across the galaxy to find the Resistance and lead a ruthless counterattack. Meanwhile, Rey has arrived at the planet Actu, where she comes face to face with Luke Skywalker in hopes of gaining answers. Dot, dot, dot.
I really like his point. That is awesome. Very similar to ours in other words, but also I like that he got Phasma in there in the sense that we didn't see her in this movie all that much. And it really, Hux is a big player and she is the one that's going to get dispatched. So that's a good point.
Yeah, I thought that. I'm like, damn it, that's a great way to just get her in.
And he got the Snoke thing in there too.
Completely covered that point that I made. Right. It's like as if he read my mind on that.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. We'll come back to that. So the two things that Steven did really well is what James said, is that nobody, like none of us had snuck in that Ren was going to complete his training with Snoke, and Steven did that right off the hop, and putting in Captain Phasma, because I think we all feel like we were sold, you know, a false bill of goods with regards to Captain Phasma in The Force Awakens, but we've been promised that she'll have a much bigger, more badass role in Episode 8, and to stick her in the opening crawl would certainly seem to validate that. So, I think Steven did a really good job.
He got all kinds in there.
Yeah, well done, sir.
Tip of the
hat. An economical 74 words.
So he'd be the shortest by a word. But he doesn't have a title. Correct. Do we usually count a title? Oh, well then shortest by a word.
I have to say, in my writing, I always get way too carried away in like description and stuff. When I read my stuff, I'm like, what can I cut? I'm like, no, nothing.
You should have been an engineer.
Engineer.
No, I used to, as a graphic artist, I used to help, I used to put together like technical spec sheets, stuff like that, sell sheets for some software that I was working at. And I would help the engineer write the spec sheet. And it would be, we had a template that we would use. And by the end, when I was going to put his text in, like I ended up having to shrink the font size and compress it and compress it and compress it again. It was illegible. And I said, we have to edit this. Like, we don't have the flexibility to go to add a third page to this. It has to be a two-pager. That's just the way it works. So get out your jackhammer and edit this thing. Well, I can't. Why not? It's all important. It all has to be there. And that was just like classic engineer talk. Like everything is of dire importance. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I got two cousins who are engineers, so I get it.
Yeah. Cool. So we have another submission from our good friend Ads.
Beautiful. Ads is king. Yeah, man. Love this guy.
Actually, he's got a couple of them. One's a slightly or very humoristic take. So Episode 8, Disciples of the Force. The Resistance, supported by the New Republic, has struck a decisive blow to the heart of the First Order by destroying their super weapon Starkiller base. Meanwhile, on the planet of Actu, the great Jedi Luke Skywalker has been found by Rey. As messenger of General Leia Organa, she's been sent to seek Luke's aid and explore her own connection with the Force. Following the destruction of Starkiller Base, the injured Kylo Ren returns blank planet on the orders of Supreme Leader Snoke, eager to complete his training with him alongside the Knights of Ren. And dot, dot, dot. So his movie would seem to also lead into Snoke and Ren. So both, which is funny, because the three of us, without really having spoken about it before getting started, didn't touch on that.
Yeah, we were just saying that with Steven too. Like that was my one crux in this whole thing where I was like, God damn it, I gotta get this in there, but it's so many words and I can't, you know? Even just get the word First Order in there was hard for me at a point.
Yeah, no, it's tough to do. But both Steven and Ads both worked it in.
No, and very well too. The thing is, I couldn't decide in my mind how long they're gonna tell us that Ren's completing his training. So because I couldn't decide if it's going to be, you know, the time frame, I couldn't write something that made sense, since I don't know what makes sense to me. You know, I really had a tough time.
And finishing it up here, he's got a funny one. Episode 1, A New Pod. It is a time of great importance in the podcast galaxy. Rival factions compete on a frequent basis to establish a footing in the listener power struggle from across the Commonwealth. The weak are destroyed, their listeners engulfed in the maelstrom. Then from the distant land of Montreal-Oween, a shining hope has been found. One that may bring peace to the podcast galaxy. An alliance called Tumbling Sabres, forged many years ago, has now gained strength. Led by Kyle Ren, and accompanied by his brother Chopper and the mysterious but powerful Thomas of Bombadil, their following has grown. Listeners flock to their airwaves and are rewarded handsomely. However, from the outer rim of the United Kingdom, reports emerge of a threat to their dominance. Amid murmurings of a master and two apprentices known collectively as TSW, the Tumbling Sabres look to the bounty hunter, Expedia, as a solution to their ever-increasing danger. I have to confess, I never really read the whole thing, because I wanted to save, like, the reaction. I didn't want to get to the end of it, and then
Expedia is a good bounty hunter name.
Bounty hunter.
Yeah, seriously.
Awesome.
Oh man,
dude, that was so good though. That was so good.
Oh, ads, well played, yeah. Man. That's a right there, Fred, right in Mark's grill.
Yeah, the Commonwealth, is growing, man. I even put that as a part of my like Twitter profile thing now, like with the hashtag. Like, I'm proud of that. We're a Commonwealth, man.
Oh, it's a thing. You're gonna be walking by, you're gonna hear someone mention it, and you're gonna be like, we started that Commonwealth. That's us. It's a thing.
I need t-shirts.
Yeah. We have to pull in somebody from Australia or New Zealand.
Criminals.
I'm totally buying TSW. TSW is selling t-shirts now, man.
No, you know what we need? We should actually actively explore looking into podcasts in the rest of the Commonwealth and just see if we can get a couple of shout-outs across. Because it's, why not? It's a funny thing. Why not promote each other?
Sure.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's as a podcasting community, we definitely should be helping each other.
That'd be really fun.
And we do.
That's why.
That's part of the fun for sure. Like, you guys all know I was never all up in this stuff, and I just found it so fun so far. Like, there's a lot of fan interaction and, like, just a lot of camaraderie. It's great.
Yeah, agreed.
Well, guys, ads, Steve.
Yeah, that
thanks,
was really
guys.
Good. Ads, well done on the.
You guys were.
You might have passed 80 words though. Might have been 81 or so, but still great.
If you want to know, it's 97. A little.
Oh no, needed
end,
it. Needed
okay.
Everyone.
So good.
And I didn't. I'm not going to do a count for the funny one because they're all funny.
And regardless, either way, at Expedia, I've listened to the podcast, and they may or may not get their money back. Like, I'm still anxiously awaiting to hear the verdict. But
no,
still,
they got solved.
Way.
Did you listen to the most recent? They got they went the boys went right to the CEO. Somebody found the CEO's contact and like went right to the top, and then got like serious action. You know, the next day, they're getting a refund. They're getting money for their trouble. They're getting it sorted out.
But Steven, I think Steven said, like, I'll believe it when it's, like, actually in my hand, you know what I mean?
Yeah, fair enough. They hadn't received the check yet, so, I mean, there's still some developments to be had. But it's from what I understand, they're good.
Good.
Yeah, hopefully.
Well, I mean, if it came from the CEO, you can it's, you know, it's not like it came from the director of marketing who can afford to sit on his hands. Like, you know, the buck doesn't stop with him. With the CEO, it's
no, that's
his
it.
Rule. And if he says they're getting money, well, they're exactly. Getting money.
I'm sure there was enough rabble about
I
complained quite a bit on Twitter, and usually I don't tweet all that much, but I was like, screw that, man. Like, I would have been so upset as well. Like, you know how long those guys planned that? Like,
No, to have you to have your trip that you've been planning for and super excited about, to have it ruined like that, it's completely unacceptable. Completely. So I'm like a full week behind on my podcasts, because you would think that being off for a week would let me catch up, but that's not the way it works.
Well, to be fair, you were unplugged too. I you catch were camping up at work. And stuff, so that doesn't help.
Yeah, I just tried to not just have a complete change of pace for 1 week anyway. So I'm going to have some heavy lifting to do once I get back to the office tomorrow, as sadly my vacation is over. We're going to do our random thoughts again next week. We're going to let people off the hook, including ourselves. I don't think we want to do another 2+ hour show right off the hop here in August. But Corey has one more thing he wants to talk about episode 8 and Carrie Fisher and her reveal at Celebration about Han's potential funeral, blah, 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 blah. So Corey, why don't you get something off your chest?
Okay, so back in not too long ago, we heard something along the lines of Leia saying that she was at Han Solo's funeral, right? This could also be a mass funeral for the Hosnian system. So also earlier on, we saw leaked photos that look like police officers in a way, or some kind of form of authority. And if we were to translate the letters through the Ourobesh, it came out to CPPD. So, I mean, it could be Coruscant, but I really think maybe we'll actually get to go to Corellia for once. And that's the police force guarding everyone. And this could also be the venue where an attack takes place from the First Order upon the remaining resistance and supporters and whatnot. It can also be the place where, to me, it looked like from those leaked photos as well that Finn was on the lam, and he could have been there at that funeral. And, you know, it could also be the place where Leia uses her Force ability in this attack. So I think that could be a good scene to the movie. Like, I see it happening, and that's, I'm putting my money on it at this point from what we heard.
So you're saying that Carrie Fisher was talking about Han's funeral as the opening scene on Corellia for episode 8, and is also the site of the First Order attack?
Not the opening scene to the movie, but the introduction to those characters. I thought maybe not even the introduction, but basically at one point there's a funeral and they're all there. Everyone, all these big players are amassed. Like, we've seen pictures of this. Everyone's dressed up in suits and in black, which kind of makes it kind of look like a funeral. And then she kind of confirmed it. And we've also heard rumors of an attack where she has to use the Force to save herself.
Yeah, we'll see. So obviously we have no clue, but you heard it here first if that comes true. So your big takeaway here is that they might be on Corellia, which would be a first in Star Wars films.
That and it being the center for all this, like, action on the other side of the fence, not Luke and Rey's storyline.
Right. Okay, well, hey, you feel better now? You got that off your chest?
Good to go.
Cool. One last quick little hit here, guys. I know it's a question that we've wanted to get to for a while here. But if you were a Padawan in the Star Wars galaxy, who would be your master? James, you've been quiet over there. Qui-Gon. You're still awake.
No hesitation.
Wow.
Good answer.
Great answer.
That's
Great
a good answer.
Answer.
Elaborate.
I think to go back to something you said last week, I think he was a bit ahead of his time in terms of how he saw the Force and the Force's role, the light side's role and the dark side's role playing out. I think he was like, I don't know, like a hippie Jedi. Like, I can't think of a person specifically to compare him to. Oh, yes, I can. Steve Jobs. I think he was like the Steve Jobs of Jedi. Like,
that's awesome.
And yeah, I don't know. I just think it would be different being his Padawan, just because I think you'd get a perspective that you didn't get from anyone else. And Yoda's the easy answer, so I wanted to go with someone other than Yoda.
I think everybody runs through Yoda.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. Yoda's everybody's master at one point.
Yeah, everybody gets a dose of Yoda, but I see what you mean, James. Like Qui-Gon is the free thinker. ahead of his time and not afraid to disrupt the status quo, old tradition, stuff like that.
I really, really enjoyed Liam Neeson as a Jedi. So that affects my decision too, because he's just one of my favorites on screen.
And there's something about his presence too, right? Like you feel like you're going to be taken care of.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like even though he might hang you out to dry here and there, it's he's not doing it because he doesn't care. He thinks that there'd be a reason for everything he does.
Yeah, I think his story was short, and so, you know, sort of like the Boba Fett effect. You know, what you imagine is so much more than what have really happened. So I just think, you know, my imagination's run off and created this really cool image of this guy. So yeah, that's my choice for sure.
And I don't know if this is still canon too, but like supposedly he's the one who started the whole Force Ghost thing, which I'm pretty sure is still canon.
Well, very cool.
Yeah, it is. He's the first one that we learn of that had crossed over. And he was also the first guy to talk about the living force and the cosmic force and all these different versions of the force. They were all explained through him, and he explained midichlorians to us. So it makes perfect sense that this is the first guy to find a way to extend his life beyond, you know, the protein form. Corey, who's your master?
I had a hard time about it too. Like James pretty much nailed it too. He was like pretty much top of the list for me. Obi-Wan was up there as well, because after having watched the Clone Wars, like he's a pretty good master as well. He's very understanding, lets Anakin slide quite a bit, maybe too much. Now watching Rebels as well, Kanan's right up there. Kit Fisto just seems like a perfect fit for me, to be honest, but I have to go with Kanan. You know, Kit Fisto, he looks like this super laid back, like.
Basically, Corey wants the boss that's going to let him off an hour early.
No, kidding. since Kane has become a Jedi, I'm sure he's put Ezra through the ringer.
No, you're right. He has. He has not been easy.
I think Obi-Wan might be the easy
one. But Kit Fisto, that. Yeah, I feel like Obi-Wan, come on. What do you say we just. Come on, let's head over to the pub. It's Friday. It's 4 o'clock. What's going to happen if it's an hour left in the
day? Kit Fisto might be like, let's go listen to some reggae, man. Do this.
Yeah, that's the guy you want. That's the guy who's going to be like, yeah, go home. Take the day off.
That's not necessarily what I want, but I just think he just looks like a cool dude, like a very understanding, like. No, not a prick.
Not a prick.
That was worth the dead air. That was awesome. Great comment.
I thought Carl was going to pick it up there. I was like, okay, I got to finish this one.
Well, I got to let you hang with that one for a bit. So my first reaction was also to go with Qui-Gon. For all the reasons James mentioned, he seemed to have forged his, definitely forged his own path. And plus, he's also a guy who was under the wing of Count Dooku, who himself was a bit of a maverick, a lot of a maverick that eventually fell to the dark side. But as cool as Qui-Gon is, I'm gonna pick somebody else. I went with Shaak-Ti in the end, and we don't know much about her, which is part of the attraction for me because I can make it up in my own mind. But I feel like she's also a bit of a free thinker and not necessarily somebody who's just so steeped in the old Jedi ways that she can't think her way out of a situation without falling back on the old doctrine stuff. So she was my pick. And also, she's the closest thing to Ahsoka without choosing Ahsoka. Same species and everything. And I think I'd just be like fascinated looking at her every day.
That's kind of cool.
It'd be like having a nice car.
That's good reasoning. I mean, you know, I wasn't even sure. I wasn't sure who she was at first, but then you explained it to me, and I think I have an idea now.
Yeah, we don't see a whole lot of her. You see a lot more of her in the Tartakovsky Clone Wars, which we mentioned earlier in the show, and in Clone Wars. But you don't see a lot of her in the actual
films. If I would have thought of it your way, I may have sort of tried to go into the future and taken Rey as my Jedi Master.
I wasn't saying that I have a crush on Shakti.
What's the line from A Few Good Men? There's nothing like getting a BJ from a woman you have to salute in the morning. Can I say that on our show? Well, I just did.
You just did. Do I have to tag this?
I said BJ, and I said it again. But I specifically chose letters, so I don't know how that works for the thing. You might have to look that up. I'm sorry.
No apologies needed. But we are going to end the show there, I think, unless you guys have anything left over to say.
No, I think I ended it pretty good there.
Okay, that is the end of the show, folks. Thanks again for listening to episode 35 of the Tumbling Saber podcast. As always, we appreciate whatever it is, 1 hour, 2 hours, 2.5 hours. We appreciate every single minute you give us. And if you appreciate what we do, head over to iTunes, leave us a review, and we will love you forever and ever. Corey, James, thanks again, guys.
Always fun, Kyle. Had a good time, Corey.
Yeah, good draws.
Anyway, guys, check us out on we're all over the place now. We're on Twitter. All three of us are out there at Tumbling Saber, at Chop Rules, at Tommy Bombadil 1. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're now on YouTube. And, of course, the blog, which I encourage you to check out. And sign up for our mailing list. We also have a mailing list that whenever I feel the need to send out a newsletter, I do that. And I would do it more often if you were part of that mailing list. So check that out. And until episode 36, guys, have yourselves a good week, and we'll talk to you next time. Watching you walking away from me.